we want to talk about home. You know, there are a lot of things that we have sayings about home all around us. We talk about home sweet home. We say there's no place like home. We say home is where the heart is. Sometimes they say you can't go back home, but then also on the other side of that they say home is where when you go there they have to take you in. So I'm not sure which one of those is the more accurate. I guess it depends on the home life that we had. The fact of the matter is that home is very important to all of us. And in fact, when something happens, we talked about Lot's wife and their home burning there in Sodom as they left. And, you know, to some people that house is the home. But then we talk about sometimes the fact that a house doesn't make a home. And family is what makes the home and various different things. We have a lot of thoughts about home. But I want us to think about this morning before we finish up and go to lunch. Do you have enough homes? Let's begin with Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to His power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." As we think about the things that are spoken of here, a family. Family on earth and in heaven. And he talks about us knowing the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. And a God who can do more than we can even imagine. More than we can think possible. Do you know folks who have a summer home and a winter home? Maybe a vacation home? You know, sometimes we talk about folks having a home away from home. Sometimes people may have rental homes. How many people do you know that have two or more homes? How many homes do you have? Well, I want to challenge you this morning to believe this statement on the screen. Every one of us needs and should have three homes. Now, they may not be the three homes that you're thinking of, but I want us to consider these three homes that I believe every one of us needs. Number one, I think all of us need an earthly home. Now, I know that Jesus says the Son of Man does not have any place to lay His head. He didn't have a home in that sense. But most of us need a home here on earth. We should have an earthly home. And that earthly home should be a happy place. It's not always, unfortunately. For many people, home is not a good place to go. It's not a happy place. Psalm 127 verses 4 and 5, "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." We should have a happy home. We should be happy in our home. But of course, not everyone is. But not only should our earthly home be a happy place, it should be a loving place. And again, unfortunately for many, it's not a loving place. A home is a place of hatred and strife instead of love. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. You know, Proverbs says many things about the home. And among other things, it says that it's better to have a meal with nothing but a few vegetables where there's love than to have the finest of delicacies, the finest meats of all kinds with hatred and strife. A loving place is of such great value to us. So great that many will leave home. They'll run away from home if it's not a loving place. They don't want to be there anymore. So many times young people, especially young ladies, will run off with the first guy who comes along who says he loves her just to get away from an unhappy home. Our home, our earthly home, should be a loving place. It should be a peaceful place as well. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Again, the proverb writer weighs in on this subject. He says, it's better to live on the corner of a housetop. Can you imagine living on the corner of a housetop? The weather you would have to endure and the difficulties you'd face living on the corner of the top of the house. He said, it's better to do that than to live in a huge mansion with a contentious woman. Now, of course, he was talking as a man. I dare say the same would be true on the other side of that for women as well. Peace is so important, just like that love is. And we should have a peaceful place. But more important, and perhaps one of the most lacking things in many people's earthly homes, is that our earthly home should be a place where the presence of God is felt. And unfortunately, in so many homes, God is absent from the home. A home without God is not going to be a place that's worth being for very long. In Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 26, God explains what it's like when He has this relationship with the people. It says, and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen, for sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires, you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. A godly household, a godly home, is one of the most beautiful things in all of creation. Unfortunately, there are many who never got a chance to truly experience that. The good news is that of all of the three homes that we're going to speak of today, this one's the least important. They say, how can our home, how can where we grew up, where we live, how can that be the least important? Well, I say that because it's only physical. It's of this earth and it's temporary. But the other two are much more lasting. We want to consider, secondly, everyone needs to have a church home. And not just any church home. They need to have the right church home. Just as with the earthly home, unfortunately, there are many people who have a church home that's not what it ought to be. You see, our church home ought to be a place of belonging. It ought to be the place where, even if our earthly home was not a good one, our church home can take that place and be that place that the earthly home wasn't. We can have a family that is the kind of family that we didn't have with our earthly family. Unfortunately, too many times the church home that most have is just a place they go on Sunday for an hour or two, and that's it. But our church home is not a place. It's not a building that we go to. It's the people that we love and grow close to that become our family. You remember that saying, home is where your heart is? Well, in that way, the church home is where our heart can be. It should be a place where we belong. Matthew 23 and verse 8 says, "But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren." We ought to be getting along as a family. Romans 12:5, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." How much closer of a relationship can we have than that? In Ephesians 2:19, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." What a beautiful picture. It tells you that no matter what your earthly home was like, you can have this second home, a church home, where you're part of the household of God, where God's your Father and Jesus is your brother, and you have other brothers and sisters in the millions who can love you and care about you and help you, and you can help them. It certainly needs to be a place where we belong. You know, one of the saddest, I guess I would say, of theme songs from a television show is not sad because the song itself is sad. The song itself is a beautiful idea. Unfortunately, if you ever saw the show Cheers, it was about a bar. It's about a place where people went to drink and to get drunk. But the song, the theme song, was "Sometimes You Want to Go Where Everybody Knows Your Name." Don't you want to go to a place where everybody welcomes you? Where everyone knows you? Where everybody cares about you? Where you belong? It's just really sad to me that they considered that place was a bar. I don't want the bar to be the place where I go, where everybody knows my name and where I feel like I belong. That's what the church ought to be, though. The place where you can go and you can belong and everybody can know your name and everyone can be there to support you and encourage you with whatever difficulties you're struggling with. But not only should the church home be a place of belonging, it should be a loving place. Do we show our love? Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another." I don't know, are we kindly affectionate? Or are we kind of standoffish? Oh, we may shake hands or bump elbows. And I've met a few people who said, "Well, I'm just a hugging person and I'm going to give you a hug." And sometimes it's good to get a hug, and sometimes you need a hug. Sometimes you need a pat on the back. Sometimes you need a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes you need some kindly affection. I realize, you know, we're not talking about anything crude or inappropriate. We're not talking about anything like that. Kind affection. "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." Do we do that? Do we prefer, give preference to others, or do we give preference to self? See, the church will be a loving place when we set our ego and the you got to put yourself first. You got to look out for number one kind of an attitude behind us and look out for each other instead. The Bible tells us, let not every man look upon his own things, but everyone look upon the needs of another. That's what we need to do in the church. Church needs to be a loving place, but it also needs to be a nurturing place. It needs to be a place where we build up one another. 1 Thessalonians 2:7, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Now, I don't know. I tell you what, this is a side of Paul that I never really think about. When we think about Paul, we think about the guy who's been shipwrecked, who's been stoned, who's been beaten, who was out there trying to kill Christians. We think about this guy. He's a tough, rough guy. But he says, you know what? When we came in among you, we were so gentle. We were like a nursing mother cherishing her children. We've all seen that, haven't we? Paul says, that's how gentle we were with you. How gentle we need to be with each other. Like a nursing mother with her children. Sometimes we get kind of rough with each other. We get kind of mean sometimes. Paul says, gentleness. That's the way to go. Nurturing. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12. As you know how we exhorted, an exhortation to exhort someone is to encourage them but with a warning. So it's kind of a, almost like a discipline. Kind of like, well, you know you shouldn't be doing this, you should be doing that kind of a thing. But he also says how we exhorted and comforted, and we charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into His kingdom and glory. Are we treating one another with these kinds of things? Are we exhorting one another, but comforting one another? Charging one another to walk worthy of God? And doing it, of course, out of love. But then we want to notice that third home. That should say a heavenly home over there on the side. It doesn't. Our heavenly home. Not only do we need to have an earthly home and a church home, but we need to be looking forward to a heavenly home. And we need to have our reservations made. And we need to have that place reserved for us. It's a prepared place. John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now you think about it. We've talked about this before. If we look at the beautiful world around us, not the worldliness, but the earth that God created, and realize that that was done in just 6 days. All the splendor, the beauty of the sunrise, the golden moonlight, the stars, the mountains, everything, the sunsets, the rain, all of these things. God created this earth in just 6 days. Jesus left almost 2,000 years ago to go prepare a place for us to come be. If He did all this in 6 days, can you imagine what He could do in 2,000 years? This place that He's prepared for us is going to be so far beyond comparing with the earth that we know and any measure of beauty that we can even begin to establish. It's going to be so far beyond that. He's prepared it for us. It is a prepared place. It too is to be a happy place. Revelation 21:4 says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. It's going to be a happy place. And then also, is going to be an eternal place. Unlike our church home and our earthly home, which will go away to some degree, although many of our church family will get to go with us to our heavenly home, at least certainly hopefully, and hopefully some of our earthly home will get to go with us as well. But in our heavenly home, it will be an eternal place. Luke 16:9 says, "I say to you, make yourselves friends by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." Well, no one on earth can receive you into an everlasting home. But God has prepared an everlasting home for those who love Him. It's an eternal place. It's also a place with God. 1 John 3 and verse 2. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We'll get to see God. What a beautiful time that will be, and what a wonderful thing to get to see God. And then Revelation 21:3, "I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God." Now the beauty of this is we begin to experience this in our church home now. But we'll get to continue it more fully, more completely in our heavenly home when we get to dwell with God for all eternity. I'll have to share with you sometime an unusual lesson from Psalm 23. But Psalm 23 says, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a beautiful thought. Getting to stay at home with God forever. What a beautiful thing. Do you have three homes? Do you have an earthly home? Is your earthly home what it ought to be? If not, why not? What can you do to change it, to make it a better home? Do you have a church home? Is your church home like we've described and the kind of home it ought to be? If not, what can you do to make it more so, to make it a better place, a better home for others as well as for yourself to live in? And what about a heavenly home? Do you have a heavenly home? One that you can look forward to spending all eternity in? Or, when this life is over, will that be the end of your homes? I certainly feel sorry for those who only have an earthly home. But I feel sorry also for those who have an earthly home and who have a church home, but no heavenly home. We need to have all three of these, but the most important ones are having a church home that leads us to our heavenly home. If you don't have these homes and you need help to establish yourself in these homes, if you have a need to respond to God's invitation for any reason, please come as we stand and sing.